Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Tez Zayin. The first parak, Arba Avos. The first parak is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Moshe and Dvorah Smith and is dedicated to our courageous soldiers of Tzahal, the remarkable citizens of Israel, and to all incredible Jewish people. May Kodesh Baruch Hu watch over all of us and grant Israel a complete victory over Hamas and the return of all the hostages safely. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that an animal is not a mu'ud, gearboats, to squat on objects and destroy them. Moazir says, Loshanu el pachim kadoim. They only taught this in regard to large jugs because it's unusual for an animal to squat on them. Of a pachim katanim orkehu. But regarding small jugs, it is normal for an animal to squat on them. Such damage would be exempt in Roshus of Rabim and paid in full in Roshus of Yachid as a told of Regal. The Gemara suggests support from a brisa. A behemim wedes lahalach kadarcha ushabir. An animal is mu'ud to walk in its normal way and break things. Ulamayach es ha'adam es behemim es ha'kelim, and to crush a person, an animal, or utensils. Now, since the Mishnah taught that an animal is not a mu'ud to crush utensils through squatting, we must differentiate between small and large jugs, as Rabbi Elazar did. The proof is rejected. Dilma min hatzad. Perhaps the case is where it crushed utensils from the side against a wall, where squatting on any utensil may be unusual. In another version, Rav Elazar said that Mishnah's ruling does apply even to small jugs, and it's always unusual. Point number two, Shmuel says, Ari b'Rishus HaRabim, where a lion attacks an animal in Rishus HaRabim, Daris v'Achol Pater, if it seized it and ate it while it was alive, its owner is exempt. Tar v'Achol Chayiv, but if it tore the animal to death and then ate it, he's Chayiv. Now, since it's normal for a lion to seize and devour its prey alive, it's the equivalent of an animal eating produce, which is exempt as Shein in Rishus HaRabim. Tearing the prey to death first is unusual for a lion and is classified as Karen and Chayiv for half damages in Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara addresses several psukim which imply that a lion does commonly tear its prey to death. Shmuel challenged from a brisa which states that if a Chaya, a wild animal, entered someone's chatzer, tarfa behemah v'achla basar, and tore an animal and ate the meat, misham nezik shalom, its owner pays full damages. The generic term Chaya implies that even for a lion, one pays full damages for tearing, which proves that it's normal. The Gemara ultimately answers to read the Braisa as two cases, shetarfa lehanich, that the wild animal tore it to store it, or darsa v'achla, or it seized it and ate it. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, ma bein tam l'muad. What's the difference between the loss of a tam and a muad? Elisha, tam misham chetzi nezek magufo, only that regarding a tam, one pays half damages from the animal's body, meaning the payment is limited to the value of the damaging animal. Muad misham nezek shal mina aliyah, whereas regarding a muad, one pays full damages from the aliyah, even if it exceeds his animal's value. Rabbi Elazar explains the term aliyah, b'mu'ush b'nechasov, with the choices of his property, meaning edis. Similarly, a pasuk describes that Chizki HaMelech was buried b'mala kibrei b'nei David in the ma'aleh of the graves of David's descendants, which Rabbi Elazar explains etzel mu'um shubim mishpacha. He was buried next to the finest members of his family, whom he identifies as David and Shlomo. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that an animal is not a mu'ud lirbots to squat on objects and destroy them. Moazir says, Loshanu el pachim kadoim. They only taught this in regard to large jugs because it's unusual for an animal to squat on them. Of a pachim katanim orkehu. But regarding small jugs, it is normal for an animal to squat on them. Such damage would be exempt in Roshus HaRabim and paid in full in Roshus HaYachid as a told of Regal. The Gemara suggests support from a brisa. A behemim wedes lahalach kadarcha ushabir. An animal is mu'ud to walk in its normal way and break things. Ulamayach es ha'adam es behemah es ha'kelim, and to crush a person, an animal, or utensils. Now, since the Mishnah taught that an animal is not a mu'ud to crush utensils through squatting, we must differentiate between small and large jugs, as Rabbi Elazar did. The proof is rejected. Dilma min hatzad. Perhaps the case is where it crushed utensils from the side against a wall, where squatting on any utensil may be unusual. In another version, Rav Elazar said that Mishnah's ruling does apply even to small jugs, and it's always unusual. Point number two, Shmuel says, Ari b'Rishus HaRabim, where a lion attacks an animal in Rishus HaRabim, Daris v'Achol Pater, if it seized it and ate it while it was alive, its owner is exempt. Tar v'Achol Chayiv, but if it tore the animal to death and then ate it, he's Chayiv. Now, since it's normal for a lion to seize and devour its prey alive, it's the equivalent of an animal eating produce, which is exempt as Shein in Rishus HaRabim. Tearing the prey to death first is unusual for a lion and is classified as Karen and Chayiv for half damages in Roshus HaRabim. The Gemara addresses several psukim which imply that a lion does commonly tear its prey to death. Shmuel challenged from a brace which states that if a chaya, a wild animal, entered someone's chatzer, tarfa behemah v'achla basar, and tore an animal and ate the meat, misham nezik shalom, its owner pays full damages. The generic term chaya implies that even for a lion, one pays full damages for tearing, which proves that it's normal. The Gemara ultimately answers to read the braisa as two cases, shetarfa lehaniach, that the wild animal tore it to store it, or darsa v'achla, or it seized it and ate it. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Ma bein tam l'muad. What's the difference between the loss of a tam and a muad? Elisha, tam misham chetzi nezek magufo, only that regarding a tam, one pays half damages from the animal's body, meaning the payment is limited to the value of the damaging animal. Muad misham nezek shal mina aliyah, whereas regarding a muad, one pays full damages from the aliyah, even if it exceeds his animal's value. Rabbi Elazar explains the term aliyah, b'mu'osh b'nechasov, with the choices of his property, meaning edis. Similarly, a pasuk describes that Chizki HaMelech was buried b'mala kibrei b'nei David, in the ma'aleh of the graves of David's descendants, which Rabbi Elazar explains, etzel mu'um shubim mishpacha, he was buried next to the finest members of his family, whom he identifies as David and Shlomo. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Tes Zayin, and our standard siman is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. When the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus Rabim and destroyed them, to avoid the lion who was seizing animals to eat them, the acrobat saved the ox by dropping the Ma Bein Tam L'Muad sign on top of the lion. Once again, slow motion. When the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, acrobat, large toes, that must be Siman Daf Tes Zayin. When the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether an animal is mu'ud to squat on jugs and if there's enough kamina between large and small jugs. So when the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, to avoid the lion who was seizing animals to eat them, which reminds us, Shmuel says, Ari b'Rishus HaRabim, where a lion attacks an animal, in Rishus HaRabim, daras v'achol pater, if it seized it and ate it while it was alive, its owner is exempt, tarfa achol chayv, but if it tore the animal to death and then ate it, he's chayv. Since it's normal for a lion to seize and devour its prey alive, it's the equivalent of an animal eating produce, which is exempt as shein in Rishus HaRabim. Tearing the prey to death first is unusual for a lion, and is classified as karen and is chayv half damages in Rishus HaRabim. So when the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, to avoid the lion who was seizing animals to eat them, the acrobat saved the ox by dropping the Ma Bein Tam L'Muad sign on top of the lion, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ma Bein Tam L'Muad, what's the difference between the laws of a tam and a muad? Elisha, tam misham chetzi nezek magufo, only that regarding a tam, one pays half damages from the animal's body, meaning the payment is limited to the value of the damaging animal. Muad misham nezek shalom mina aliyah, whereas regarding a muad, one pays full damages from the aliyah, even if it exceeds his animal's value. So once again, when the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, to avoid the lion who was seizing animals to eat them, the acrobat saved the ox by dropping the Ma Bein Tam L'Muad sign on top of the lion. All right, so now it's time for Por Blabat Chazara.
Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes.
The boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers. Boy, 11 brothers? That must be on Daf Yud Beis. 12 brothers. The boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers, an Eved is like Karka in terms of acquiring metaltling with a kinyanaga, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Avadim are like Karka regarding acquiring metaltling along with them. So the boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers, an Eved is like Karka in terms of acquiring metaltling with a kinyanaga, accidentally dropped him on a live bachor, making him chayv to pay damages, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Beis taught that one is only chayv for damages to properties which are not subject to me'ila. Now this implies that even if they're a hektish, one would be chayv for damaging them, provided they're not subject to me'ilah. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the mission refers to kachim kalim, karbanos of lesser kedusha, such as shalmim or bechor, and follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglia, who holds the kachim kalim mamun balim, who it's the personal property of the owner. So the boy who picked up an Eved holding a microwave oven to show his 11 brothers, an Eved is like Karka in terms of acquiring metaltolin with a kinyan agav, accidentally dropped him on a live bechor, making him chayiv to pay damages to the kohen who's trying to sell it, since
Nowadays, it belongs to him, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that an unblemished Bechor may be sold by a Kohen while it's alive, and a blemished one may be sold even after Shechita. Rav Nachman explained this refers to a Bechor nowadays, which cannot be sacrificed and so belongs to a Kohen. Still, if it was Shechted without a blemish, it's prohibited in benefit as a carbon Shechted outside the Mikdash. While the Beis Hamikdash is standing, a live unblemished Bechor does not belong personally to the Kohen. Rav Nachman was challenged from Rav Yossi Agui, who considers Kachim Kohen to be personal property even when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. Ravina answers, Rav Yossi discusses a Bechor outside Eretz Yisrael, which Rabbi Shimon holds should not be brought to Eretz Yisrael to be sacrificed, and is therefore the Kohen's property. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simon Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy, Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy whose first ever Shlamim, which was a Tam gourd, making Mechayev to pay half damages from the meat, but not from the Emorim, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said, Shlamim Sheziku, if a Shlamim animal which is a Tam damages, Goba Masarin, he may collect half damages from its meat, which the owner normally eats, Veina Goba Me'emoran, but cannot collect from its Emorim the part sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Although this seems obvious since Emorim are brought on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Abba meant he cannot even collect from the meat corresponding to the value of the Emorim, which cannot be collected, and only collects half of the meat. So the Bar Mitzvah boy, whose first ever Shlamim, which was a Tam gourd, making him chayav to pay half damages from the meat, but not from the Emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was Nechasim Yuchadim and not Hefker, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Tes Amud Beis taught that damage payments only applied to Nechasim Yuchadim, privately owned properties, and three interpretations are given. The second one being Prat L'Nichsei Hefker, the Mishnah is excluding ownerless properties. The Gemara explains the cases where an ownerless animal damaged an owned one and someone else acquired it. The damaged party has no claim to the animal, which was unowned at the time of the damage. So the Bar Mitzvah boy, whose first ever Shlamim, which was a Tam gourd, making Mechayev to pay half damages on the meat, but not the Emorim, was in the midst of admitting to a rabbi it was Nechasim Yuchadim and not Hefker, when all of a sudden he noticed the pet goat was eating the Nizak's produce in the Chatzar's family jointly owned with the Nizak, which reminds us that the Gemara brings a machlokas if a jointly owned Chatzar is exempt from Shein and Regel. Daf Yadal, so the Simmer Daf Yadal is a yad of hand, and we often use a juggler. So here goes. When a cow ate the juggler's fruit, juggler, that must be on Daf Yadal, yad, hand. When a cow ate the juggler's fruit, he juggled, that was kept in a jointly owned chutzer designated for fruit, but not oxen, which reminds us, more discusses the case of a chutzer, which is miucheretz l'peres v'enu miucheretz l'shvarim, designated for produce, but not for oxen. Since the oxen are not permitted to be ridden by the partners of this chutzer, the damage is considered to take place in another's field, and one is liable for shein and regel. So when a cow ate the juggler's fruit, he juggled, that was kept in a jointly owned chutzer designated for fruit, but not oxen. The juggler realized he would get paid for the damage minus the value of the mazik's window he broke while performing his juggling act, which reminds us. The next Mishnah lists several rules about payments of damages, and the Gemara explains each one. The first is shum kesef. Payment is based on monetary assessment. Rabbi Yehuda explains, shum zet lo yael bekesef. Their assessment of damages should only be based on the amount of money lost. So when a cow ate the juggler's fruit, he juggled that was kept in a jointly owned chutzer, designated for fruit, but not oxen. The juggler realized he would get paid for the damage minus the value of the mazik's window he broke while performing his juggling act. For the Yosomi who only pay their father's obligations from land they inherited, not metaltli, which reminds us, the next phrase in the Mishnah is shavah kesef. Payment is made with something worth money. A brayso explains it means that payment is only from nechasim, sheisha machrayis, meaning land. Still, if the damaged party went first and seized metaltelin, movable items, basin govinu lomahen, basin collects for him from them. In a brice we learn regarding orphans of the responsible party, they only pay the father's obligations from land they inherited, and not metaltelin. Dav tezvav, so the simon dav tezvav is a fruit bowl because tezvav reminds us of tubishvat reminds us of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the simon more distinct. So here goes. The woman who discovered that women are also chayv in damages when she dropped and smashed her friend's fruit bowl, that must be one dav tezvav. Tu b'shvat relates to fruit bowl. The woman who discovered that women are also chayv in damages when she dropped and smashed her friend's fruit bowl, which reminds us, the Gemara brings sources that women are also chayv in damages in monetary law, as well in liability for their murder. So the woman who discovered that women are also chayv in damages when she dropped and smashed her friend's fruit bowl was informed that because of chetzi nezek kanas, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a machlokas about palka niska, the half damages payment for when a tum animal damages. Rav Papa says mamona, it's a monetary payment of liability, and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says kanasa, it's a penalty. A nafkamina is where one admits that his animal damaged with care because one does not pay a kanas based on his admission. The Gemara concludes that chetzi nezek is a kanas. So the woman who discovered that women are also chayv in damages when she dropped and smashed her friend's
fruit bowl, was informed that because Chetzi Nezek Kanas, a court date was set in Eretz Yisrael because it seems her little cat was guilty of killing and eating someone's large chickens. Which reminds us, the Gemara says that since the halacha is that Chetzi Nezek is a Kanas, if a dog killed and ate a sheep or a cat killed and ate large chickens, it's an unusual damage and we do not collect in Bavel. Collection of any Kanas requires judges with smicha, which is only given in Eretz Yisrael. Still, if the victim seized property of the damaging party, we don't take it away from him. Also, if the victim requested a court date in Eretz Yisrael to make his claim before judges with smicha, we set a date for him, and if the damaging party does not go, mishamtinle, we place a ban upon him. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which duff do you discuss with the dins regarding an animal squatting on jugs, large or small? That's on duff. Tezine. Good number 2. Which duff do you discuss shum kesef, the damages are assessed on a monetary basis? That's on duff. Yadal. Good number 3. Which duff do you on the source that women are also chayiv for damages? That's on duff. Tezma. Good number 4. Which duff do you discuss what one is chayiv for when a lion eats its prey and the nafka mina and how the lion kills and eats it? That's on duff. Tezine. Good number 5. Which duff do we learn a person who digs the 10th tefach in a pit is chayiv if an animal falls in and dies? That's on duff. Yud. Good number 6. Which duff do you have 3 different interpretations of what nechasim miuchadim means? That's on duff. Yud Gimel. Good number 7. Which daf do you machokas if chasi nezek is mamun or knas? That's on daf. Tezbav. Good number 8. Which daf do you machokas whether a shomer who gets another shomer to watch the item is chai for damages? That's on daf. Yidav. Good number 9. Which daf do you learn that a shlamim tam, the damages we collect from its meat but not from its emurim? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. And number 10. Which duff do you discuss what the difference is between Tum and Muad? That's on duff. Tezine. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody. Rumgold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.